Being in this room brings back a lot of really good memories, very sweet memories. Being behind this desk, not so much, but being in this room brings back a lot of good memories. I'm thankful for the blessing to have grown up in a church with such a wonderful youth group, with so many wonderful caring adults and people that God placed in my life that reached out to me. And I want to let you, the young people, know that I think of you often, and I pray for you, and I'm so excited to see what God's going to do in your life. And I'm praying that He richly blesses each and every one of you. The thought that the Lord brought to my mind was ending the cycle. My longer title, if you will, is Ending the Cycle of Destructive Behaviors That Hinders Our Relationship with God. And before we start, I don't have my Bible with me because I put all my scriptures in my notes. There's no way I would be able to find them at this point. So please pray for me. Romans 7:15 says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Have you ever felt trapped in a situation or trial? Have you ever felt that some behavior or habits were sabotaging your walk with God? I myself have had this experience in my life. In the past, some of my behaviors have been destructive to the plan that God had for me. It was like I was stuck in a cycle. Perhaps when Paul was writing this chapter, he was relating to a time in his life when he was stuck in a negative cycle. Verse 19 says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I do not, that I do." This is a very negative cycle. There are many examples in the Old Testament of the children of Israel being stuck in a negative cycle of idolatry. So many times God would help them, but in time they would go back to worshiping idols. An example of this is in Exodus 32. "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people were gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man that brought us out of Egypt, we would not what is become of him." The Israelites were not sure what had happened to Moses and asked God and asked Aaron to build a fake god. This seems extreme considering all that God had already done for the Israelites. God had chosen Moses to lead them out of slavery, and now they decided to build a false god. It sounds very extreme and drastic. But has there ever been times in our lives when we don't know where God is or what he's doing, so we begin to take things into our own hands, maybe even seek counsel or comfort from the things of this world, or confide in people who are not saved? Leaning to our own understanding is one of the quickest ways to start a negative cycle of destructive behavior that sabotages our relationship with God. The book of Joshua, chapter 24, Joshua confronts the people of Israel because again they have started to worship false gods and disobey the Lord. "And Joshua said unto all the people," I'm starting in verse 2, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took you, your father Abraham, from the other side of the flood and led him throughout the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave him unto Isaac, Jacob, and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt, according to that which I did among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and ye came unto the sea, and the Egyptians pursued you after your fathers with chariots and horsemen unto the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. And ye dwelt in the wilderness a long season. And I brought you to the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you. I gave them into your hand that ye might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam, therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan, and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand, and I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out before you, even the two kings of Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. And I have given you land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and dwelt in them, of vineyards, of oliveyards, which ye planted not, nor did ye, do ye eat. And therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were in the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in this in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Joshua sought to break the cycle of destructive behavior that was sabotaging the people's relationship with God and their journey to the promised land by reminding them of all that God had done for them.
Right,
and then he asked them to choose this day whom they would serve. It may be hard for us to identify with this passage because it's not personal to us. We don't really know anything about taking over cities or journeying through a desert or being in literal bondage as slaves. But if you're saved, God has saved you from the bondage of sin. When I read this passage and personalize it to my own life, I receive a wonderful blessing. I was a slave to sin. I can identify with Paul when he said that the good he wanted to do, he didn't. And the bad that he didn't want to do, that he did. There were many times, especially as a young person, I wanted to serve God, but I was bound by my flesh. And God delivered me. God brought me through dark times in my past. When my parents were divorced, God was with me. When my dad passed away suddenly, he brought me through. As I graduated, God guided me day by day to exactly where he wanted me. He gave me a godly husband and blessed me with beautiful children. And he doesn't love me more than he loves you. He loves us all. And right. What God has done for me, he most certainly can do for you. Personalize this passage of scripture to your life. Think about what God has brought you through already. Some of you have had some tragic losses in your life, but we serve a faithful God, don't we? How many of us in this room can testify to the faithfulness of God? Look at what he has done for us, not just as individuals, but as a congregation and as a church as a whole. God has been true. God has been faithful. God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, the God of fear or the God of self, the God of doubt, the God of anger or pride or any other thing that would try to rise up against who God is. I doubt that any of us would worship a literal false idol, but anything that we put above or in place of God becomes an idol. it's a destructive cycle to doubt God, because then we start to put our confidence in someone or something else. And that is what an idol is, anything that we put in place of who God is. The Israelites couldn't see Moses go up into the mountain. They didn't know what he was doing, so they got fearful and they decided to make an idol. Moses was still there. They just needed to be patient and trust that the God who brought them out of Egypt would take them through the desert to the promised land. What about us? Does the future seem uncertain? Are you in a place where you can't see God working? Do you feel like you're going to be stuck in your trial forever? Moses was gone for 40 days, and some of us may be carrying burdens for a lot longer than that. Sometimes it seems we will never get an answer. We will never get relief, but we've got to keep our eyes on the goal.
True.
We're on our way to the promised land. This world is going to perish and pass away, but God is going to take his church to heaven. And no matter what we face in this life, no matter what trials I face, I want to see Jesus. And it would be worth it all when we see Jesus.
Yeah.
Second Corinthians 4:17-18 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Although we do not look at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Be patient. God is still with us. Do not make fear an idol. Do not turn to the things of this world, and do not put your confidence in man. Hope thou in God, the same God that led the Israelites to the promised land, the same God that formed you in the womb. He has called you by your name, and you are his. Are you in a cycle of destructive behavior that is hindering your walk with God? Whether it's a cycle of bad relationships, losing your temper, a cycle of fear, or yielding to temptation, I believe that God can give us power to break the cycle.
Right.
As a young person, especially in my teen and high school years, there were many times I found myself in a cycle of destructive behavior. As God would call me to lay aside hindrances in my life, I had a desire to serve him, but I was also attached to the things he was calling me to lay aside. For me, two of my biggest weights and struggles was worldly music and entertainment. I would go through phases where I would get rid of all my CDs, yes, I am showing my age here, and commit to only watching certain movies, only in a short few months to go back to the things that God had called me to lay aside. Back in our text, Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." I had a desire to serve God, but I needed a plan to gain victory over these heavy weights. Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Often I would try to rationalize, continuing to do, watch, read, or listen to the things that God was calling me to lay aside by saying, "Well, it doesn't say in the Bible," or "This isn't sin." But the scripture doesn't say to just lay aside sin, but to lay aside every weight. God was calling me to lay aside things that affected my mood, hindered my prayer and Bible time. The question isn't, is it sin? The question we must ask is, will it help me run? Will it make me more like Jesus? How does this profit me spiritually? When I look at worldly entertainment and music in terms of how it would help me spiritually, I knew I had to cut it out entirely. And that is something that I have to commit to every day. I am going to share with you some things that I have done to help break the cycle of some of the destructive behaviors that I've had in my life. The first step to ending the cycle of defeat was making a choice to serve God. 1 Kings 18:21 says, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. We have to acknowledge that God is right in whatever he's called us to lay aside. If we are defending and rationalizing destructive behavior, and we will never gain victory. The Israelites could only move forward to the promised land only after they surrendered leadership to God and being in complete obedience to him. The second way that we can help end the cycle of destructive behavior is to ask God for help. Verse 24 of our text asks the question, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" which is answered in the following verse, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." We will never be able to gain victory in our own strength. Paul acknowledges this truth in verse 18 when he writes, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Jesus even said in Matthew 19:17 that there is none good but one, that is God. I know a lot of people use these scriptures to justify sin and that you can't live a holy life, and that's not at all what I'm trying to say here. Rather, in Jeremiah 10:23, "Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps."
Right.
You can live a holy life. You can have complete victory. But it's only through the power of Jesus that we can live free from sin. And we must seek him for help. Another way to break the cycle of destructive behavior that hinders our relationship with God is to have accountability. James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Find someone you can trust and tell them about anything that you may be struggling with or that is hindering your relationship with God." This was difficult for me as a young person because I was so afraid of what the person that I would confide in would think of me. But that's a trick of the enemy. The devil knows their strength in unity. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, "Two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up." And also, I didn't write it down, but I thought of the scripture about as iron sharpeneth iron, so one can sharpen another. You know, oftentimes when people come to me for help or prayer, I get encouragement as well.
Right.
Proverbs 11:14, "Where there is no counsel, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors there is safety." Go to your youth leaders, saved family members, and pastors. Ask them to pray for you and check on you to keep you accountable. Don't be afraid to confess your faults to saved parents, pastor, or youth leader. We all have weaknesses that the devil can take advantage of if we are not careful. Philippians 3:12 says, "Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away." We all need God, and we all need accountability. I would also encourage you to go to people that you know are going to help you. Be careful of confiding in peers. I think it's obviously their support in a big youth group. But in some instances, it might be best to seek counsel and prayer from people who are older than you, because they have life experience and the maturity to guide you.
Right.
The last way that has helped me break the cycle of destructive behavior is to look at what causes them and then change through the power of God the response to those situations. With God's help and counsel and accountability, we can create new cycles of behavior that will help us go strong for the Lord. The children of Israel worshiped the golden calf because they didn't know what happened to Moses. What do we do when we're not sure what God is doing or how he is working? What is a new cycle of behavior that we can put into practice to replace this destructive behavior? We can look at another example of someone who couldn't see God in their trial. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture that I've quoted before. Job 1:22, and said, "Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job said this after he lost his land, servants, and his sons and daughters. The Lord giveth and taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job blessed God in one of the most horrendous situations I think a person could go through.
Right.
The Lord giveth and taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is amazing. Job 23:1-10 says, Then Job answered and said, Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job had created a cycle of trusting God through his trials. Job's response to the devastating loss of his children was to trust God, to trust him even when he couldn't see him, that God was still watching over him. See, the children of Israel maybe didn't know how God was working, but God still knew exactly where they were at. And they could have trusted in that, and it probably would have saved a lot of time as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. We can replace a negative reaction or cycle with trusting God. Another example is Paul, Philippians 4:11-13. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, who strengtheneth me. Paul's response to hardship was to learn to be content and to find his strength in Christ. Lastly, Jesus was the perfect example of having a positive response in the case of temptation.